Lord, that we love you, God, we love you. The first two commandments, Lord, to love the Lord God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, to love our neighbor as ourselves. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you, Lord, you came and you touched us and you changed our lives, and we just thank you, Lord, for that. We thank you, Lord, that, God, it's not because we love you so much as that you loved us and you gave your son on the cross. And you loved us, you demonstrated it, Lord. You showed it. You showed that you wanted us really bad to be your children and to be close to you. And Lord, we are grateful for that sacrifice, for what you went through so that we could be close to you. So that every sin and every wickedness, every evil, everything we've committed, Lord, could be washed away by the blood of Jesus, and we could draw near to the Creator, to our God. And we are just grateful today, Lord. We declare that we love you with all of our hearts. Lord God, your people, Lord, you said if your people love you, they would obey you. So, Lord, we thank you that, Lord, there is a group of people, Lord. There's a group of people in this world that love you and obey you. Lord, we know in comparison to the many that don't, Lord, you said there would be few that would choose the narrow way that leads to life, and many would choose the road to destruction. But, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that you love us, that you opened our eyes before it was too late in our lives. And we just pray, God, that you will speak to us this morning, speak to our hearts, and change our lives in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. That Heather Clark can write a good song, can't she? Man. I want you to take your Bibles out this morning. We're going to go ahead and get into this a little bit. I'm going to be very brief this morning, I believe, but it's a point that needs to be made. I touched on it last week about the subject or the issue of offense, and I really dealt with the offense of the cross, how the world is offended when you say that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. The world gets offended. When you say, then you begin to expose the sins and the things going on in people's lives and tell them that they have to change something if they want to be accepted by God, then the persecution begins. So we talked about that a little bit, about the offense of the cross, but I want to talk more about personal offenses this morning, because it seems that this never goes away right here, offenses. Matthew chapter 24, if I didn't tell you. We're going to read this because this is one of the signs, believe it or not, this is one of the signs of the end. All the problems you see in churches and church drama and issues, well, Jesus said it'd be one of the signs of the end would be offenses in the church, offenses with people. Let's look at this. We're going to start reading Matthew 24, we'll just read from verse 3. It says, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, and see that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Now, Jesus starts out with talking about deception, and he talks about the wars and rumors of wars, and he talks about earthquakes and famines. And if we're not there, I mean, just the earthquake thing alone, I think I did a research on this not too long ago and found out that I think it's like, if I remember correctly, it's over two-thirds of the largest earthquakes that have been recorded since the 1100s have happened in the 1900s up to now. So it's unreal, and we're talking about major earthquakes. So Jesus said that these things would happen, and he said right here, all these are the beginning of sorrows. These are the beginning of birth pains. The word sorrows there means birth pains, which means that they would, as they begin, they would increase with intensity and more frequently. But then he goes on to say, and I love this, he makes it very clear, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and deceive many, And because iniquity or sin and injustice shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold or grow cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come. Well, there is an end coming. And as I believe firmly, and we'll probably get into this in the next few weeks, we'll start studying the end time stuff, but because we need to do that. But I just want to say that offenses, many shall be offended. And it's pretty clear here, he says, many shall be offended, they shall betray one another and hate one another. And verse 11, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will grow cold. It's interesting that the word love there is the Greek word agape, which is the love of God in people. And let me just say this, that no one can really possess the love of God inside them if they've never been born again. All right, the Bible's very clear on that, that the Holy Spirit sheds abroad his love in our hearts when we come to him. A totally unsaved person does not have the love of God. And that's why he says, for all that is in the world. Matter of fact, turn to 1 John. Let's just prove that point. That, you know, people can show love that aren't saved, but it doesn't mean it's the love of God. Because let me tell you something. The love of God means that you love God and you obey God. Matter of fact, we probably ought to define that this morning, because a lot of people have a mixed understanding of what love is. But in 1 John chapter 2, let's look at this real quick. We'll be in 1 John for a second, I suppose. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John 2, verse 15. And this is what he says here. He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And this is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abides forever. So he says, if a person loves the world. Now, what he's talking about here is not the people in the world. This is not the issue. He's saying if a person loves the worldly sins and the worldly lusts. And so he defines it. He says, for all that is in the world is what? The lust of the flesh, sexual lust, the lust of the eyes. Not just lusting in the sexual sense with the eyes, but also lusting for people's things. And this pretty much covers everything. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. The boasting, the being proud, the thinking that you got it all together without God. That pride. He says all that is, if you have that in you, if you love the things of the world, the love of the Father is not in you. Is that in your Bible? All right. So I just show you that to make the point that not everyone walking around has the love of God. You know, Bono does a lot of good charity work, doesn't he? He does a lot of good charity work. And you know what? All of that is good. But do you know that the tree that was in the garden that they were not supposed to eat of was the knowledge of good and evil? There's good that people can do and still not be operating or walking in the love of God. Because God's real specific about what it means to walk in his love. You want to see what that is? All right, well, let's find out what God's love is. Go to 1 John chapter 5. See, because a lot of people want to accuse you if you come up to them and bring correction in their life or do something that seems mean or harsh sometimes, and you really care about them and you want them to be, you know, delivered from something. Like the homosexuals out on the campus, they got all fired up, you know, because we said homosexuality was wrong, that God doesn't like homosexuality. That's a sin that God wants to be repented of, that you have to turn away from, like many other sins. Well, they get all mad about that. But the bottom line is to tell the homosexual that they have to repent and that Jesus will wash their sin away and forgive them if they'll turn from it. That's the love of God. The world sees that as being mean and hateful and homophobic, and they got all kind of names for it, right? That's the world, because the world doesn't understand the love of God. The love of God is always for the child of God to love God and keep his commandments. And if God says, go forth and preach the gospel and command everybody to repent, then guess what? When I obey God and go do that, I'm walking in the love of God. The world sees that as walking in meanness or walking in hatred. And let's look at this. 1 John 5, And we'll just read verse 1. It says, whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now, of course, the word believe here means to rely on, to trust in, to cling to have an intimate born-again experience with Jesus. It says, if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, God come in the flesh, you are born of God, and everyone that loves him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. Speaking of, if you love the Father, you love the Son. But look at verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God. Now I want y'all to see this. You want to define the love of God. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. This is the love of God. I love how people try to define love. See, the world out there would say Bono or people like him that do this charity work and stuff, that they're operating in love. Now, they may have some compassion for their fellow man, but the problem is that you can feed a man physical food, he's still going to die. You can bring a man or a woman medical care, and that's showing compassion on them. But if you don't share the gospel with them and lead them to Jesus and lead them on a path that's going to be about everlasting life, eternal life, then you really don't love them fully. You have some compassion, but you don't love. The love of God is to keep his commandments. And this is how we demonstrate that we love not only God, but the children of God. Didn't we just read that? I want to look at this again. Look at chapter 5 there, rather verse 2 and 3. Let's read that again. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Let me explain this. Let's just demonstrate this. Let's say that I have a friend, and he's married, and he loves his wife, and I'm married, and I love my wife. But let's just say that I decide, and this woman over here decides, well, we're going to have an adulterous affair. Well, the bottom line is, the moment we decide to not keep God's commandments, we don't love. I'm not loving my wife, and she's not loving her husband. Bottom line is, because we're going to hurt those people deeply in their hearts, that is not the love of God. You see what I'm saying? The world would say, well, you're in love with that person, so it's okay. No, it's not okay, right? Their idea of love and our idea of love, or God's idea, rather, is completely different, all right? Now, let's bring this to the church world, all right? Let's talk about offenses. We bring this to the church world. I want you to turn, just go back to 1 Corinthians 13 real quick. 1 Corinthians 13. Everybody ought to know the love chapter in the Bible, right? And there's many verses. Like if you go and read John 14, 15, there's verses in there where Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey me, right? Love is demonstrated by what you do in the kingdom of God, not so much by what you say you believe, right? People say they love God all the time, but in their works they deny him, right?